start our post-race press conference. And we are now joined by the winning crew chief of the winning team, the number 11 FedEx Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing, and that is Chris Gabehart. If you have a question for Chris, raise your hand, and we will get you a mic. And we'll start right here with Bob.
I have two. The first is it a little bit ridiculous to hit the wall and spin and still win?
At Pocono, maybe, where our track position means so much, I would say, I mean, ridiculous, maybe not, but an eventful day, certainly.
And also, with Kurt Busch suffering a concussion on a back end, kind of a hit with the rear of the car, is there concerns on your guys' end just about this car and the hits the drivers are taking?
Oh, good grief, Bob. You're such a downer. We just won the race. Why are you asking something like that? I mean, concern, listen, it's racing. These are heavy cars going really fast. That's a lot of energy to dissipate. There's always concern. This sport's a dangerous sport. It's always going to be a dangerous sport. NASCAR and all the race teams just do a good job of disguising that sometimes.
We'll go to Zach.
Zach Sterniel, NASCAR.com. Chris, I'm curious your take on the contact that took out the one car earlier, and just what was your take from top the pit box?
It took out what car? Which one?
One car.
I'm not. What contact? What are you talking about?
Turn one.
I don't know anything about that, honestly.
Fair enough.
No idea.
We're also joined by Denny Hamlin, the winning driver of today's race and the owner of Joe Gibbs Racing, Coach Joe Gibbs. If you have a question for any of these three gentlemen, raise your hand and we'll get you a mic. Zach, do you have a follow-up? Go ahead.
For Denny, then, your contact with Ross Chastain off turn one.
Who?
Noted.
I got a jerk you.
Anyone have a...
No follow-up questions that one, huh? You got the point? Good.
Zach has another follow-up. We're going to try again.
No, I'm not.
Coach, you haven't.
And that's
said
not a demeaning way to him. It's just making a funny.
I got it. Coach, Ty Gibbs was obviously made his Cup debut today. What was your impression of seeing him out on the racetrack and coming away with the top 20 finish?
Yeah, he was discouraged that he couldn't get more out of it. I appreciate Denny and the whole group over there, Michael and everybody, for letting Ty jump in there. That was his first run at it, and I think he realizes how tough it is. So he was wanting to get more out of it.
Any further questions for our winning team? Here you go.
Nathan Salmon with the podium finish. One for you, Chris, and one for Denny. Chris, obviously three wins now in the season, a lot of ups and downs. Kind of how would you evaluate where you guys are at this point in the season?
I mean, capable. That's what I would say. I mean, I think this is our third pole since the Coke 600. Two of those have been wins. One of them should have been. You know, I get tired of the should have been stat, but by gosh, we got a lot of those. So capable. That's what I would say. And we just got to keep working at it.
And Denny, obviously you had a lot of options or other options on who you could put in the 45 car. Why did you settle on Ty versus maybe someone like John Hunter Nemechek or Brandon Jones or another Toyota driver?
Yeah, I mean, we talked amongst ourselves with Michael and Curtis and Joe and Coy and Heather, and, you know, just thought it could be a good opportunity for him to get in there and get his feet wet in the series and see what it's like to drive a next-gen car. He's never driven it before, so I think it just was a good opportunity for him to do that, especially in a no-pressure situation.
Dan?
Dan Gelson, Associated Press. Denny, you passed Jeff Gordon today, seventh. Pocono's winningest driver was seven. You're at the stage of your career where you're always – matching greats in some categories, but what does that mean to you, and why are you, over a long time, have you found so much success?
Yeah, I mean, means a lot to me, honestly. It's hard for me to kind of believe, because there's so much that goes into winning at this track. It's, you know, having the fastest car is like a 20% of the equation that it takes to win. So today was a prime example where you needed all of it, all 100%, and strategy worked out. The car, they got it better. I did my job when I really counted and screwed up in other times. So it just, it all came together. It was truly a team win. The pit crew did a phenomenal job today. So there was a lot of, I've had a lot of those wins happen that way at this racetrack. And maybe one day I'll get myself a rock out there.
Nice.
We'll go to Kelly and then Scott.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. First for Chris, you guys made it known months ago that it was all about bonus points, playoff points, and that was going to dictate kind of just the mentality going forward. So added another 5 today. You're now almost right there for the most in the series. So is it kind of mission accomplished and just feeling much better about that position as the playoffs approach?
I wouldn't say mission accomplished. There's however many races left to win, and we want to win them all. But certainly we're not going to, through situations, we're probably not going to get into the top 10 in points, so there's no bonus points for us to be had at the end of the regular season. So we've got to rack up as many of them as we can right here. Chase is on pace to probably win the regular season points, so he's got 15 coming to him. But, you know, this team can win any week. Indy Road Course is coming up next week, so any week. We're going to try. I wish they put it on the oval. I'm here to tell you. But this team can win any week. So that's what we're focused on, is winning. You win, the rest will take care of itself.
Denny, turn one, lap one, you got a good start and then went up and bounced off the wall. Just what happened there? I thought I heard you say something about resin, but I might have been mistaken.
Yeah, it just wasn't burned in. I mean, we had no weather overnight, so I just assumed that it was in whatever condition it was after the race yesterday. So I went in there just as normal as I had before. But the combination of the new tires that probably weren't burned in good enough and the resin not being hot, it was ice. And Kyle actually did it the very next restart. So it was treacherous there for a while until we burned it in halfway through the race.
Here to Scott and then back to Zach.
Scott Walsh from the Scranton Times Tribune. Danny, you talked about what happened on lap one. What happened on when you spun in turn two? Can you just kind of talk a little bit about that and how you're able to just kind of fight back and get back to the front over the next bunch of laps?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of got ate up on a restart pretty bad, and I got stuck behind the 47, and then I went 4 wide on the bottom, and it gave me a bad angle going in, and I didn't want to slide up, so I tried to use the apron to get the car to stay down low, and I just spun it out. So glad no one got into us there, certainly, but it certainly our day was not looking great at that moment, but it was interesting how optimistic Chris was that, all right, we're just going to figure out a way to get up front and you're going to win the race and that's the way it's going to be. And, of course, about 5% of my brain actually comprehends and believes that, but we found a way, just kept digging.
And, Chris, okay, talk about just how – what were you saying today at that point, how optimistic you were?
You heard him. 5% of him believed we had a shot. But, listen, 5 was enough, apparently, right? I just had to find some little part in there. No, I mean, the message is you can't quit fighting. Mm-hmm. And certainly at a track where there's so much strategy that can play out. I mean, anytime you can get more fuel in your tank than the rest of your competitors, it opens up opportunities. So – you know, when that happened, you know, it allowed us to get 10 or 12 more laps of fuel in the tank, and which opens up windows. But you've got to be able to look several runs in advance of that one once something like that happens. And you got to start thinking through, if this scenario, then what? And you've got to be ready for all those when they happen, because you don't have time to pivot. The calls have got to be instantaneous. So, you know, listen, the pit crew did amazing. I'm just so proud of my whole team. But Ryan, Sam, my two engineers, and the whole team, they just know never to give up. They just believe and they march, and you know, so does Denny, and here we are.
And just real quickly, the incident with Blaney, the caution that came out, how much did that help you? Because I think you were talking about asking Denny to save fuel.
It did. So this is twice in a row, or not twice in a row, it's 2 times this year where I say to myself, well, if they just run an average pit stop, then we'll get plenty of fuel in it. And lo and behold, they run the fastest one of the day. They slow down and go fast. I think there's a great message in that. But nonetheless, we needed some caution laps to feel good about it. The Blaney caution was margin. We really didn't need it, but it certainly made us feel good about it. And gave Denny enough fuel in the tank to do a turn one to turn three burnout for his seventh Pocono win in his career, which I am very proud of. That is an amazing accomplishment. I've been fortunate enough to be with him for three of them, and I'm glad he had enough fuel to put on a show there at the end.
So I see we got questions for Zach, Dustin, and Chris. Are any of these for Chris Gabehart? Chris, I'm going to let you go for your next stop. Thank you for your time. Congratulations on the big win. Okay, we'll continue on and go back to Zach.
Denny, just going back to that Pocono success here, you've talked about how on the front end of your career, when you were having a lot of success here, that was when you were able to run the middle line, especially through turn one. Mm-hmm. With that resonant, it looks like that lane is back to prominence. How much does that help you behind the wheel, despite whatever strategies out there, just behind the wheel, how much does that help you?
I don't know that the line really helps me, but I think it helps the racing here. You know, if we didn't have the resin here, this track would, you know, it would struggle to get off the bottom just simply because of the age of the surface. But, you know, when they put the resin down a couple years ago, it's made this a multi-lane racetrack, and we've seen the next-gen car really thrive on tracks that is wide. You need to go into the corner and have some options. So, I think they did a really good job with that. They consulted a lot of the teams and drivers on whether they should reapply it. They talked to some of the drivers that came here and tested. So I think that it's been good. And so really, you know, even beyond the track surface, you know, it was great to see the crowd and really the investment that the racetrack's making back into the facilities here, just packed to the gill. It's great to see that this place is really thriving in the one day that they got.
Come here, Dustin.
Dustin Albino, JC.com. Denny, you tied Tony Stewart for 12th on the all-time wins list today with 49. It looks like he did so in one fewer start, but what's it mean to tie Tony, someone that you were teammates with for a few years?
Yeah, I mean, he's a legend for sure. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be teammates with him and actually, you know, kind of got mentored. Our managers were the same and kind of mentored us at such a young age when I was coming into the sport and I didn't know what I was doing. And Joe put a contract in front of my face to him and his you know, guys, made sure that I got taken care of and cost Joe a lot of money. So we actually became real, probably closer friends.
He actually bought a house twice as big as mine right next to me. That's embarrassing, okay?
And, you know, we've just been good friends and certainly someone that I look up to from a talent standpoint, you know, to be able to have the accomplishments he's had at every type of racetrack. He was that guy that it didn't matter for 36 races of the year. He was a threat to win, and that's what I hope to be one day.
Go up, stay up front to Chris.
Denny, two questions real quick. There was a lot of drivers complaining that it was hard to pass out there today. So really, was it hard to pass out there, or did you have to have a good car to be able to pass?
I mean, it always is. I mean, a lot of the tracks we go to, it's very, very hard to pass. It's just part of racing. I mean, you can watch the F1 race at Monaco, and nobody will pass anyone all day long. They just kind of run behind each other. So it's more to it than that for sure, but I think that they've made the racing here as good as what can be expected, honestly. You know, it takes many different ways. Sometimes you win this on strategy. Sometimes you win it by having a fast car. But either way, it's, you know, no mistake that, you know, some of the fast guys continue to win here. And, you know, Kyle, you know, dominating this race, you know, year after year over the last 5 years, it's no accident. They know what they're doing. And so, passing is difficult. It's difficult everywhere we go. We had a tough race at Martinsville earlier this year, so we're just always trying to make this next-gen car better, and we're in the first year of it, so I'm sure there'll be changes over the next few years to continue to make the product better. We spent decades making that car better that we had, the Gen 6 car, and we got it to a good place, but, I mean, we're still only, you know, just past half a season on this car, so we got a long way to go to continue to improve it.
And then Taylor seemed emotional in a good way today, more than emotional than I think I've ever seen her at the racetrack. As she's getting older, what's it like to embrace those moments and obviously get to carry her in the car with you and everything?
Yeah, she loved it, and she's an emotional girl anyway. She always, you know, says I don't win enough when she comes to the races. So, I just
way to go, Tyler.
Yeah, try to do my part.
Okay, and then for Coach Gibbs, Dale Earnhardt Jr. came in yesterday after the Xfinity race, and he praised Ty Gibbs about how he raced Noah Gregson in the final laps. He felt like that Noah could have taken, or excuse me, Ty could have taken some opportunities to take Noah out, and he didn't. And he gave praise after praise about how he raced. And I was just wondering how you thought Ty raced Noah yesterday after all that they've been through this year.
I thought it was a heck of a race. And I told Noah out there today, hey, they went after it, and they'll probably be doing that for a number of years. And so, no, I'm proud of Ty on that. We had Kyle Larson in the road race, too. So I think he's, you know, maturing. He understands. And so hopefully that'll be the way he races in the future. I want to just thank Toyota, everybody there. We got a new boss, Jack Hollis. This is awesome. 2 weeks in a row we're getting a chance to call the new guy, Bob Carter. Miss Bob already. So that's really something that's important for us. And then FedEx, you know, Fred, everybody, Raj, Bree, Catherine, Monica, everybody there. So it's a big deal for us.
Kelly.
Denny, you tweeted earlier today about Ty. You said the little ish that stole your shoes. Is that true? Was he wearing your shoes today?
He was.
So he had Kurt's fire suit and your shoes.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, I was trying to get a nap in around 12:30, and interesting, you know, guy, everyone knows Austin, who's been with me for forever, started with Ty this year, and it's got much longer runway with Ty. So, and so he comes barging in my bedroom, taking my shoes, and he said, "Ty, I need shoes." So, Ty says he's already got his friends asking when he can get some Jordans. So, I'm not sure if that's part of the one race deal or not. I don't know. It's yeah. He said it was a little snug around his buns, but other than that, it was good.
We'll go to Dan and then Cole.
Dan Gelson, AP Joe. I know this is kind of a common question every week, but you know, Dave Wilson at Toyota painted a much dire picture of your contract talks with Kyle. Has anything changed of late, and is it as bad as he painted the picture?
Well, I think it is. Everybody in here kind of knows, because you've been through this with different teams, and it's so hard. It's hard to put things together. And we had a couple of companies we thought, you know, it wound up being disappointments for us. And so we're just working hard trying to get it done. But it is hard, and it is discouraging.
Cole
Cusimano with the Arizona Republic. Denny, you had a really rough start to the season. Now you're tied for most wins in the series. I'm just curious if your outlook for the postseason has changed from the beginning of the season to now, or if it's remained the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten better. It seemed like at the beginning of the season we were only good at certain types of tracks, and it was mile and a half. Anything else just wasn't very good for us. And it seems like we made strides, especially, you know, last week was a good sign, being at that it's a track that has similar loads that Phoenix has. Obviously, if you want to win a championship, you better be good at Phoenix. And we were all subpar there at best early in the spring. So it's a good sign that we're getting our cars better at all types of racetracks. Now, road courses, we still got work to do. Next week, we're going to try to keep moving the bar just a little bit. I think that we're all, you know, Sonoma was historic in a bad sense for all of us. And then the next race, we just kept getting a little bit better. And I thought we had a couple cars at Road America that were right on the edge of top 10. I know that's a very modest goal for, you know, a bunch of, you know, Hall of Fame teammates like I've got, but it's progress. And so you got to just keep moving that bar. Hopefully we go to Indy and we have maybe three cars that are inside the top 10. I mean, just something to show us that the work we're putting in is starting to pay off and we're heading in the right direction.
I'll wrap it up here in the front with Scott.
Denny, you talked about passing Jeff for the wins here. You talked about tying Tony. clearly the one thing that's lacking on your resume is a championship. What, you know, could this possibly be the year? What do you think you have to do to probably put it? I know there's a lot of racing left, but what could maybe make this the year?
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to put it all together. You just got to win one race. That's just the bottom line. I you know, talk about how can you be a championship team and driver. Well, you just got to win one race. You know, it's just it's different than it used to be for sure. And so the format, it's just it doesn't matter what you've done for the first 37 races. I mean, it matters you got to get there, but it's just they crown a champion based off of one race. And so we just haven't won that last race of the season for various reasons. But I mean, of course, this would be the year that we've been worse than 20th in points for over half the season. We probably will win it. So, I mean, it just that's just the way stuff works.
Okay, congratulations.